You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the latest edition of the Golf Podcast here with William Hill. Two big events this week and the Barracuda Championship as well. We've got the French Open on the European Tour and the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, which is, of course, a World Golf Championship. And it's more of a PGA Tour event this season, with some of the big names deciding to take part in the event at Le Golf National. Dave Kellner here alongside Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall. Good to have you back, Mike.
Good to be back, Dave.
Did you have any bets last week? I didn't see anything on Twitter.
No, I didn't. I had a week off, to be fair. I was having a post-Jason Duffner not getting placed in the US Open. So I decided to have a week off.
Everyone's entitled to one of those sulks. I think,
Everyone? People haven't backed him?
Everyone, yeah. No, everyone's got that situation where they've backed a golfer and they finished tied seven,
it's
tied
annoying,
eight.
Isn't it? Yes.
And look like running into a place.
A lot of those
you're entitled
this year.
To sulk about that.
Yeah, I think we've had a lot of those this year. Each way bets. He was at three-figure price and not for the first time this year. Just missing out on the money, so that annoyed me a little bit. And I couldn't do the podcast, so I'll have a week off.
Yeah, good stuff. And Dave Tindall, welcome back.
Hello, Dave.
Couple of, an appropriate winner with Billy Hurley winning last week in Tiger's event at Congressional, because that event, not running in association with the military, but it supports the military, doesn't it? And Billy Hurley,
he's a
obviously,
Navy guy. Yes.
He's a Navy guy, so it was appropriate that he won and closed out well with that chip in on 15, sealing the deal.
Yeah, he did well, to be honest. We've seen how players can be sat there sort of lame ducks with a target on their back and fold, and we've seen it so often, and he saw it through. I'm not sure there was much beneath him to sort of scare him, to be fair, but he did well.
And Henrik Stenson back in the winner's circle as well with his
win
in Germany.
I don't know, did we sort of decide probably one of the big three would win it in Germany?
You were pretty confident one of the big three would.
Yeah, but I couldn't quite decide on one, and I think we do know that he didn't pull out of the US Open because he was half dead. I think he did it because maybe he had to get up early the next day and it was a minor niggle.
Yes, yeah, and
allegedly.
It was an unconvincing win, actually, from Stenson watching that event, because he was too over early on and he never looked that comfortable with the lead. It's been a while since he's won, Stenson, so I'm sure he'll take confidence from that, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, they all need to get a sort of recent win in the bank, don't they? People, if you think, are proven winners, they sort of get out of the habit and then they, you know, they start to wobble and all these second places start to mount up. So I think he'll be glad, yeah.
Let's get stuck into this week then, because we've got two absolute crackers this week, and we'll start with the French Open on the European Tour with Rory McIlroy, 4-1 market leader here. Martin Kaymer 14-1, Lee Westwood 16-1, Danny Willett, Francesco Molinari, and Graham McDowell, all 20s, Andy Sullivan, Bernd Wiesberger, Chris Wood, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Rafa Cabrera-Bayo, all 25s, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. Arguably the best field on European soil this season, Mike, with Ryder Cup contenders looking to show they are committed to the cause. The Ryder Cup will be here at Le Golf National in 2018, and the course has undergone some renovation in the last 10 months as well to get it ready for that biennial competition. So a lot of these players will be looking to make their mark this week.
Yeah, it's going to be USA versus Great Britain and Ireland again, isn't it? I reckon. It used to be Great Britain and Ireland,
yes,
didn't it?
Yeah. I got pulled up for saying something similar by some Irish people, saying we didn't vote to get out.
No, but they were. But Ireland was in the Ryder Cup team before Europe joined. It's a good course, isn't it? We'll see what happens. I'm just slightly querying your best on European soil. I think it's better than Wentworth's field. I'm just trying to remember whether you're right or not.
It's close, isn't it? I think that this event, Wentworth and the Irish Open, very similar in terms of field qualities. But yeah, it's a very, very good event, and I think you're right to say how good the course is, because I think it will be a superb venue for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stadium-style course, viewing will be brilliant, and it's a real test as well, Dave. It's not easy, this golf course. Firm and fast, water in play on a few of the holes on the back nine as well. Not overly long at 7,249 yards, Le Golf National, but it does test every facet of a player's game.
Yeah, is this where you say, have you played it? And I, okay, yes, I have actually.
Yeah, you have played
yeah,
it.
I did play it a few years ago, and it was very, very undulating.
So irritating, isn't it?
So irritating.
I'm trying to give you the inside. I hit it in places probably where these golfers won't, so... I honestly thought, when I played it, I thought, oh, you've got to hit the ball straight to do well here. But I think the stats say otherwise. There's quite sort of thick, kind of hayy, wispy grass not far off the fairway. I lost a few balls in there, just went in there, no chance of finding them.
Yeah.
But looking at the stats...
There weren't spotters there when you were going around, though.
To be fair, yeah. So it was a lot harder for me.
Yeah, you didn't have people following you around, did you?
I don't think so, no. Not in a good way.
But did you like it?
I thought it was a great course, yeah, really. I do like... Sometimes you go to or you play some of the open courses and you think you're a bit underwhelmed because they're quite flat, aren't they? But this sort of went up and down, undulating everywhere. And the last few holes with all the water in play, you immediately look at those and think, that'll be brilliant for the Ryder Cup.
I think there's a certain type of player that's done well here as well, Mike. Graham McDowell's won a couple of times. Bernd Wiesberger, a winner here. Martin Keimer as well. Those guys that, I don't want to pigeonhole them, but they're very methodical players to a certain extent.
I think that's right, yeah. My fancy would be Martin Keimer, so come on.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I think he's got a strong chance this week. I tend to agree with you. It's they're of a type, probably, aren't they? Yeah, would you agree with that, Dave?
Yeah, well, two of them are US Open winners, aren't they?
Worth having a little look at the draw as well, particularly if there is wind forecast, because it can blow here. And I suppose we're slightly in the dark about how the renovations and the modifications they've made to the course will affect this championship this year. You've got to go on what we've seen in the in the past.
Are they a bit cosmetic, maybe?
Yes, possibly so.
I don't ever remember. Well, unless they do a completely ridiculous revamp, like maybe Doral or somewhere. Modifications don't tend to change the nature of the course that much, do they? It tends to be a little bit peripheral. I don't think that usually.
There's a lot of reasons why players go to a venue and they're in the comfort zone. It's not just because a bit of grass has changed, exactly. It's the whole thing around it.
Exactly.
How many picks have you got, Mike? Have you got one?
Well, Keimer is my fancy in this, but I'm doing him in a little each-way double with someone else. So a little change.
Exciting
to the,
times.
Little change to the tactics.
Yeah, I want a couple of players to finish seventh this week.
No, yeah. It's not just the course that's been modified. You're modifying your...
There's modified Stableford in the Barracuda, and I'm modifying Tips in the studio.
I like it. I've got one pick then, Dave.
Yeah, one for me.
Okay, you go first then.
Yeah, you mentioned him before, Bernd Wiesberger, the defending champion. We saw Graham McDowell win this back-to-back, so it can be done, which is an immediate tick in the box. I just think he's a big part of the kind of leaderboard history here. The last 3 years, he's actually been in the top five going into the final day each time. It's kind of like a Fred Couples at the Masters. He's not quite that low, but he's always up there, Bernd Wiesberger.
Yeah.
First two times, he made a mess of the final round. Shot 77 once, 75 the other time. But it was like, well, that was money in the bank. That was experience gain. Last year, shot 65 on the final day. So I think he's very much in his comfort zone. I think the problem become a little bit mental on that final day. Now he's sorted that. I just think he's absolutely raring to go. I can't see why he won't challenge heavily again. He comes into the tournament in great form. He did miss the cut in the US Open, but you know, that's kind of its own thing. If you judge him on European tour form, 7th in Germany last week, 10th in the Lyonnais, which was his home tournament, 15th at Wentworth. He's got a bank of kind of progressive European tour form. I think 25-1 is just fine for a player of his ability with this course record. I think he's great for an each way, but I honestly think he can win it again.
25-1 for like Wiesberger.
Sorry, Dave.
Yep.
I like Wiesberger a lot, as you know. Just my slight query and why I haven't picked him this week is he just seems to be putting in a a bad few holes or a bad round. His consistency is just a little bit off. I've watched him in a number of weeks and thinking, oh, I wish I'd backed him. Then he does something wrong and kind of falls down at the leaderboard a bit. But the week that he gets all that together, he's a very good player, and I can see why you picked him.
This was one of the performances of the season, wasn't it, last season?
Yeah,
his performance over the weekend was unbelievable.
66-65.
Just didn't put a foot wrong. I remember watching it and thinking, there's no way he's going to lose here, and he closed out sensationally in this event last year. Why do you like Keimer then, Mike? Why is he the first part of this each-way double?
Well, because he's in great form, Dave, and I think you picked him in the US Open, didn't you?
I did.
And I nearly did. He finished 37th, which wasn't pulling up any trees, but prior to that, he'd got good finishes in Ireland and at Wentworth, so we know he's and in Spain. We know he's in very good form. He plays this event ever so well. In fact, I was just looking at something on the European Tour website earlier on today, and his course form is even better than I realised. In 9 previous appearances, he's only twice finished lower than 13th place. Mm. One here in 2009. He's had 5 top 10s, which as good as I thought his form was, I didn't realise it was even quite a little bit better than I thought it was if you go back even further. So, and he's a course record holder too, so I'm reading all this off the website, which is not... But I did fancy him anyway. So, you know, 4th last year, definitely a big indication that he's... fancies his chances this week that he's not playing at Bridgestone. You could say that about a number of others as well, but he's making the journey over here to play. So in very good form, and I think he's... I'd be very surprised if he's out of the 5, so that's why he makes good each-way double.
Mm. Yeah, I like him. He's got his favourite courses, hasn't he, on tour? He won in Abu Dhabi loads of times,
yes.
Didn't he? Should have won again, shouldn't he? Went that year when he was on 10 clear
and
didn't
win. That
was the weirdest
it?
Thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, he is like that, though, isn't he? He likes it. He's a horse for courses, man. A bit like Bubba or someone like that.
I just remember reading a quote once when he said, this is a Martin Keimer sort of course, so he does really like it.
Yeah, 14-1 Martin Keimer here with William Hill. I'm going for one at a bigger price.
couldn't be much smaller.
No, precisely. I'm taking Mike Lorenzo Vera as my selection at 150-1. This week, the Frenchman. He's barely done anything of note this season, but he was banging the mix last week at Gutlachenhof in the BMW International before a final round 75 derailed his challenge, and he ended up finishing back in a tie for 9th, ultimately. But I'm hoping that finish has got him back on track, and I was very impressed with his play at Le Golf National last year, where he finished 6th. I get the feeling he's the kind of player that thrives when it's tough.
Thought you did.
Yeah, and it's notable. I've edited that out, listeners. I've had to do 10 takes of that line. But it's notable that his other decent performance this season came at Valderrama when the going was very tough for the players. Finished 6th in Spain earlier on this season. He's done well on tracks when the scoring isn't too low, and you'd expect something around about 11 under par. If you get into double figures, you'll have a very good chance of at least placing this week. And he stood out to me at the prices. Stats were very good last week as well. So Mike Lorenzo Vera is my each-way selection here at 150-1.
Yeah, any of the French guys, sometimes you get opens and there hasn't been like a local winner for years, but I think there's been 3 in the last 12.
Thomas Levay was a massive
Levay
price when he won,
jumped and
he?
Broke his leg. And then... Jeff Ramsey won it back-to-back, didn't he?
Yes, he did,
Sort of a bit before that. So, yeah, the French can be inspired in front of their own fans.
Mm. Yeah, I like him. I just like him at the prices, really. He could easily bomb because he's not had a good season, but...
You know, bit of a feel-good factor with France about to play Iceland and on the way to...
Iceland,
good team.
Very good.
A very good team, yeah.
Yeah, they were ranked 1 going into the tournament, weren't they? They were number 1 in Europe. Must have been. So he's my pick at 150-1.
So we've not picked any...
Sporting pick.
English players, then, basically.
We've not picked any Englishmen this week. Who was on your list, Mike?
Matt Fitzpatrick would have been an Englishman that you could pick. I know his recent win in the Nordea. He looked great there. Missed the cut, I think, here, though, last year, but it seems like the sort of course that might suit him, I think.
Definitely.
So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him bounce back to form. Tong Chai-Di, player you like.
Yep.
Caught my eye a little bit. And maybe Torbjørn Olesen or Thomas Peters, they both hit it a fair old way, both of those guys were also on my mind. But good feel, but Keimer will be in my each-way double.
Yeah, I liked at the shorter, the guys towards the top of the betting, Francesco Molinari, who's 20-1, I was very tempted to have an each way bet on him. I could definitely.
It's his sort of course.
Yeah, it's his sort of course.
He might have been on him, yeah. I have to say.
I'm not sure. He just doesn't win enough, does
Correct.
He?
Yeah,
that sort of price. That is the big problem. But that you look at him around this golf course, form's exceptional, finished strongly at Congressional, played well at the Players, so he's an obvious one. I like Rafa Cabrera Bello as well, but similar sentiments maybe apply with him. He's 25-1, but he's elevated his game this season, fifth here last year. And one guy that we've ducked in the betting that I would have put in at a bigger price, Fabrizio Zanotti, who's 50-1. He started incredibly well last week, birdieing three of his first four, couldn't keep it going, but closed with a pressure-free 67. Last two starts here, 9th and 20th. Course that clearly suits him, and finished 7th at Wentworth as well. But he has been ducked at 50-1, so leave him out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've not mentioned Rory yet. 4-1 favourite. He's only played this twice and not played it for 6 years. But when he did play it, 2010, he was one shot out of a playoff. So he can do well here. And that was obviously, you know, pre-major winning Rory. So
you wouldn't think of it as the perfect setup for McIlroy, would you? If you and obviously you mentioned that he had that that good finish in 2010. But if you were pinpointing a course on McIlroy to succeed on, this wouldn't be right at the top of the list, I don't think.
No, I agree with that. And I think 4-1's not really taking any risks, is it? No, I think it's not dangling anything, is it? 4-1, but of course, it would be no surprise if he went and won.
You can win anywhere, can't you? Yeah. Like those elite players can. But 4-1, you can probably let him do that, can't you?
Yeah.
Matt McDowell obviously has a fantastic record here, having won twice, as Dave mentions. There'll be people fancy him at 20-1, won't there?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about his current form. Are you? What do you think?
I'm not convinced by his current form.
Mm. No. Yeah. That's what puts you off that. I think Olesen I quite like, by the way, 40s. I looked at the Ryder Cup table and how it stands. It's sort of done on a European and a world's point list. It's only 9 automatically qualify. Darren Clark wants 3 picks, and he's 10th, Olesen, so he's
on the bubble,
you know, 10th. I think I'd rather have someone just outside trying to attack and get in
and
there.
And you get
than
double points
on.
This week, don't you, as well?
Double points because it's concurrent with the WGC, which normally would have had points, wouldn't it? So they've sort of given it an extra boost.
Yeah,
for the Ryder Cup hopefuls this week. So is anyone with Ryder Cup intentions has got a massive incentive, I think, to go well this week.
Definitely. That's the French Open. Let's move on to the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. And here at William Hill, Jason Day is the 11-2 favourite. Dustin Johnson in the betting at 7-1. Jordan Spieth, 8-1. Brooks Koepka is 16s. 20-1 for Adam Scott. Brandon Grace and Justin Rose, and it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. Each way, quarter the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And because of the Olympics, this tournament has shifted from its usual slot in late July to this one in late June. And the tournament's also been affected by the European Tour and the French Open being on this week. And that means the field is down to 61 from the 76 that have qualified for this championship. Maybe a slight surprise that Henrik Stenson and Sergio Garcia aren't teeing it up anywhere this week, but it is one of those highly congested summers with the Olympics, and Stenson would maybe rather take advantage of the weaker fields than have a shot at the Bridgestone Invitational this week. And Firestone South, again, the host course, Mike, and it's described as being a bit of a monster at 7,400 yards par 70.
It is, Dave, but you know, Jim Furyk, for example, has a very good record here, so I don't think you absolutely have to be a bomber, albeit some good performances, some of the winners are. Tiger being no better example of someone who could hit it a country mile, and I think did he win here 8 times?
Yep.
Yeah, crazy.
Not likely to make it 9 at the moment.
I just want to see him back, don't you? It's the longest running storyline in golf, isn't
it?
When will he or won't he ever come back and play another event on the PGA Tour?
The only person he's more likely to come back than is Anthony Kim, I reckon. That's about it. Because it's beginning, though, it's slightly doubtful, isn't it? But I think he will come back just about, let's hope so. Anyway,
they should get Tiger and Anthony Kim together on some course in Vegas and bet on it, because who would you back?
I've no idea. Well, apparently Anthony Kim still plays, doesn't he? But plays behind closed doors.
But anyway, so there is a mix of people who can play well here. You know, quite a few of the short hitters have some decent records here. Sat Johnson's record isn't horrendous, so plays to a number of different skill sets. You know, I'd say hitting the greens and birdieing is as important as driving distance myself.
Yeah, I think it's just I just think it's a driver's golf course. I think total driving strokes gained off the tee. Yeah. You need to drive the ball well here at Firestone, in my opinion, Dave, because the greens run at 13 on the stimp meter. They're very, very difficult to hit if you're not in the... Now, we talk about this, and it sometimes doesn't ring true, but they're difficult to hit if you're not in the fairway and in control of your ball.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. I've got two picks, by the way.
Mr. Grenham?
I've got an outsider that I'll mention, but he's not going to make each way double.
Okay, okay. I've got one pick, so I'll let you go first, Dave.
Well, you've just said how important driving is. And the way he drove the ball when he won the US Open, Dustin Johnson, I'm just going to keep backing him. I know that's a sort of a horrible price, isn't it? 7-1. It's not... I don't think... We've never seen Dustin Johnson at a single-figure price in an event like this before. So it is a bit sort of, ooh, that takes a bit of getting used to when you look at it. But I just think you've got to play him now. He hit the ball ludicrously well, didn't he, to win the US Open?
Yep.
You know, God knows what demons he rid by winning that. It's hard to know what goes on in his head, but surely he's got to think that is a massive monkey off my back. And I did look at the form. I know it's hard to win, isn't it? In golf, it's hard to sort of win back-to-back, even if you've had a week off in between. But I looked at McIlroy and Spieth and Day, and all of them have got recent examples of winning a major and then winning on their next start. So I think for the very elite, it's something you can do. I think McIlroy did. I think he went Open, Bridgestone, USPGA. Spieth won the US Open, then he won the John Deere. Day won the USPGA, which was his breakthrough win as well, then won the Barclays. So you look at their form figures and they've got 1-1-1 next to each other.
Yep.
So I think he's ripe, Dustin Johnson, to be the next to follow those three. The worry, I think, for punters is his course form doesn't look great, but he was second at halfway in this last year, and that's when his head had completely was mashed after the US Open. And I think people forget then he went on to our Open at St Andrews. He was leading there as well, and then he just went to pieces on the weekend. All that was mental. I think physically he was playing fantastic then, but it was all in his head that he couldn't go over the line. So I just think you marry the two up, the way he's playing, which I think he's playing the best golf out of anyone at the moment. You marry that with his newfound confidence or whatever happened to him the US Open. I would just keep backing him at 7, you know, even though 7-1 takes a bit of a
It's one of those where I suppose you've got to get over the... If you think Dustin Johnson is going to be one of the game's elite from now on, after that...
I mean, the last three starts, he's got a win, a third and a fifth.
Yeah.
So you could even back it each way and just think, well, I'm, you know...
Would you go win only then?
I'm going to go win only just because I think it is so powerful what he's done at the US Open. And the way he drove the ball there, you say you need to drive the ball well. I mean, he was smashing it miles beyond anyone else and then in the middle of the fairway. It was just astonishing.
Mike?
Not for me, Dustin Johnson at sevens. Not on this course, but I do understand what Dave says, and it may be that, you know, it's interesting that he was second here halfway last year, but I think he needs to prove a little bit more that he's a real, that he is one of the elite. You may well be right, but I'm not sure yet. Are you, DK?
No, I'm leaning towards Mike's way of thinking at these prices, because before that US Open when he'd gone such a long spell without winning, if he does turn into a guy that's going to win regularly on the PGA Tour, then I'll be thinking I'm willing to take it. When he's splitting Day and Spieth in the betting, I'm willing to take that sort of price. But
I think it was the same with Day. That Day couldn't win, then he suddenly wins and takes off. I agree.
But
Day wouldn't have been 7-1 on his next start after his first win would be my... Would he? I don't think he was he? I can't remember. He won a major... After he won a major, would he have been sevens in the next event?
He won before his major championship, didn't he?
Yeah.
So,
but he was up against a sort of banging form Jordan Spieth then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Look, to be clear on this...
And there's no Rory as well here.
Dustin Johnson could easily join the elite. He's not that far off, is he? And if this is the catalyst to make him go to the top, then absolutely. It has happened with people like Duval and Day in the past.
Yeah.
And taking a while to get going. So I do see your point, but it's just about perceived value, isn't it? And at sevens, I'd just be prepared to let him go. Not saying he can't win by any means.
Who's the second part of your each-way double?
Not in this event. In the Barracuda, right, okay. my my each way double. So I have got an outsider to mention, but you've got a pick, haven't you? So
I have.
You mention yours.
Mine's Ricky Fowler, my pick. At,
ooh.
I think this is a big, big price, this. 33-1 Ricky Fowler.
He's gone at the game.
No, he's not gone at the game. I remember missing Fowler as a very similar price at the Deutsche Bank last season.
Yeah.
And he was 33-1, 40-1, around that range, and he's 33-1 this week. We'd have been saying 6 months ago that Fowler was a better player than Dustin Johnson. 6-8 months ago.
And you would have said he was more sort of complete all round.
Yeah, and
the way he puts and stuff.
He's 5 times the price. Yeah. Near enough this week. So I think at the price he's a good bet. He was default favourite last week, wasn't he, for the Quicken Loans National, where he finished down the field. It was about 12-1 last week and opened with rounds of 68, but then went backwards over the weekend. He has had trouble putting it all together, undoubtedly, but 33s is a little bit of an insult for someone that not long ago was in the conversation with McIlroy, with Spieth and with Day. Performances haven't been as good recently, admittedly. Miscuts at the Players, Memorial and the US Open. But he still ranks 6th in strokes gained tee to green. More importantly, 6th in strokes gained off the tee this season. Finished 2nd at Firestone in 2011. Has been 8th and 10th here the last 2 years. And 33s is a good enough price for me. And I'm all about price, so 33-1 is my pick.
Yeah, it was on my longer list, I have to say.
It's a value bet, yeah.
Yeah, he's never been very good for me. Whenever I back him, he plays like a...
I just remember
donkey.
It's that Deutsche Bank last year when everyone was saying, no, he's not going to win this week. And he'd just come off a miscut. I don't know where, but he'd come off a bad miscut somewhere. And he went off 33s and 40s. And I was thinking, that's a massive price. Didn't back it. And I don't want to be in that situation again this time. So I'll play him at 33-1.
Yeah. Well,
hoping class is permanent and form's just temporary.
Have you given all your picks?
I've got one more.
Yeah, you give you one more because mine's not a full-on pick.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm just channeling you or just... You should be saying these words. Although maybe he's driven you mad, so you won't. Jason Duffner.
Well, he was one of the three players I was going to mention. Yeah.
As you all know, the argument I'll make, it's pretty obvious. He's played really well at Congressional, but not quite well enough to come out.
He was never absolutely in the heat of battle, but he was always looking like he could get placed to me. Yeah. Who backed him, and so I didn't think he was going to win. But
I mean, he shot, 73 in round one, so I think he did play really well the last 54 holes, but just not quite getting near enough.
I didn't see the first round, but I think it wasn't the first round where he hit the flag and lost a couple of shots by it bouncing off the green, so he actually could have...
Right.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, this, if you look at it, it was incredibly lucky. I think he could easily have been a couple of shots better off in that round too.
Yeah, I know he was 30-odd at halfway and he came through to 8th, but not quite good enough. But I like it was that way around, he finished strongly.
Yeah.
He was 6th in that DeLuca one, Colonial, I prefer to call it, 2 starts earlier. And you look at his greens in reg figures, they're fantastic of late. He was 2nd in scrambling at Congressional, which is a thing you need to do well here as well, because your ball will bounce off these fast greens. Mm. So he's doing the things you need to do well here. And he's got the course form. We're not just guessing that he should like this course. He's come 7th and 4th in two of his three attempts here. And one thing I'd learned this morning when I was doing a bit of research, he was born in Ohio, he was born in Cleveland. Which is, I think, in the northeast bit. So he has a lot of family and friends that come out and watch him. So it just adds that little bit of, you know, local extra for him.
Yeah.
And 40s, I think it's okay. I mean, looking at a guy who's won this season already with good course form, he's a major winner.
He would have been on my list as well. I know he's on Mike's list. I think he's got a solid chance at 40-1.
Just the thing that put me off was he was 100 in the US Open. And this is a much smaller and weaker field, to be fair. So maybe the price of 40s just put me off. I was close, though. He was definitely number 2 on my list. Absolutely. Yeah. So.
I think I was thinking 50s would have been nice. 40s I'll take. 33s probably not. But 40s is fine.
It's okay, yeah.
So
Duffner was very close, obviously, for obvious reasons. I just thought if anyone was looking for a bit of an outsider in what is a smaller field, David Lingmuth might be worth a little look. He was 6th on his course debut here last year, and he's running into a nice little bit of form. He was 22nd at Wentworth, 27th in the Memorial, and 12th in the US Open. A quiet 12th there in the US Open, which is interesting. He's a guy who can... I like that 6th last year. He's very interesting. He's a guy who knows how to get it done when he's in contention, and certainly... Tigerish kind of player, so at 66-1 in what is it a 59 runner field?
It's a 61.
61,
yeah.
61, is it?
Yeah.
I just think he's got a chance at that kind of price each way, I think. So not a full on bet, but just someone I thought I'd mention.
Yeah, well, he won at Memorial, which is in Ohio, with really, really fast greens, so he's proven on this sort of thing.
A couple of guys that I just want to mention very quickly as well. Emiliano Grillo, who had a chance at Memorial and didn't see it out on Sunday. I think he could surprise a few this week, and he drives the ball very well. So Emiliano Grillo would be on my list at 80-1.
Yeah.
That's a big price, isn't it?
The two guys you've mentioned and one my kind of outsider, and I wonder if we could look at these in top 10 markets maybe. Like Smiley Kaufman.
Right, okay. In like a top 10 market.
Yeah. Smiley Kaufman.
They could be short, though. It'd be interesting to see what they are this week with only 59, 61
they're
players.
They're going to be about sixes, aren't they?
6-1, Smiley Kaufman. Yeah. 6-1, Emiliano Grillo. And
Fives Lingmouth.
Yeah, Fives Lingmouth.
Yeah, Kaufman.
Not the worst prices, though.
No.
Considering there's 60, well, normal fields are 156, aren't they? So it's, you know, it's significantly less players to
And you look at some of them down the bottom end, Bowditch, Matsumara, not Matsuyama, Davis Love, Vaughan Taylor, Tsukada. There's a few kind of making numbers, I think, there.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, Smiley Kaufman, I think he's got a little bit forgotten that he went out in the final group in the Masters, didn't he, with Jordan Spieth. Shot horrendous, had a bit of a disaster, didn't he, at 81. But to be in the final group of the Masters is very impressive, isn't it?
He had like a 3-foot birdie put on the first, didn't he, in that final
as soon
round.
As
he missed
that.
It, and that was it.
Game over. But he played really well last week as well. He came 10th at the Quicken Loans with a nice final round, and that got him into the Open Championship for the first time.
Right.
So I think he'll be feeling good.
If I was to pick with someone in that market, Dave, I'd go for someone I've mentioned a couple of times lately. Søren Kjelstad was 12th last year.
Yeah.
He's 8-1 to be top 10. That's
did the sort of Masters thing make it spring into your mind? Because he played really well, didn't he?
He's just been
Masters.
Playing well. Generally, he didn't. I think he might miss the cut of the US Open. So, but yeah, that seems a reasonable price. He was 12th last time round.
Yeah, he did miss the cut of the US Open.
Yeah, I mean, just back to Kaufman. He was 10th at the Quicken Loans, 20th at Memorial, top 10 in the Cadillac. So he's already come top 10 in a WGC. Yeah. So
I just want to mention just the two more before we move on to the Barracuda very quickly. Daniel Berger, I thought you might have gone for, Dave. He's 50-1. I know you did miss him at the St. Jude, which I suppose is still frustrating.
sorry to bring
that up again. 50-1, though, Daniel Berger. Really impressive in that FedEx St. Jude Classic. And I like his game for tough golf courses, Berger.
Yeah, so 10th at the Masters.
Yeah, he was on my mind. And Jim Furyk plays incredibly. You mentioned him. Plays incredibly well here. 25-1, Jim Furyk. He's shaken off the rust quickly, hasn't he, Mike?
Yeah, he's number three on my list. Again, he doesn't hit it very far, but he hits it very accurate. He seems to love this place with loads of top finishes. So a good each-way play, I think, Furyk.
Let's move on to the Barracuda Championship. Final of the three events this week. 12-1 the field. Brendan Steele and Gary Woodland are at the top of the betting. Colton Ost is 14-1. John Rahm, who played so well last week, 16-1 on his professional debut. And 25-1 and bigger the rest. Not an event, Dave, that yourself and I have looked at?
No, I don't know. I used to love this event back in the day because there's the modified Stableford scoring system. It's just a bit different, wasn't it? But
still is a bit different.
I think it's just
it's not
got
changed.
Yeah, it's just got the fields have gone a bit weaker.
Well, the fields were never brilliant, but I know what you're saying.
I remember sort of backing Mickelson in it once, and I think he won at 33 or something crazy.
Yeah, since it's run concurrently with the WGC event.
Yeah, but I like this as part two of my each way double because I think there's a player in this who's ripe for the win. I think you're absolutely right. This field is weak. So the 12-1 joint favourite, Gary Woodland, is my pick. He won here in 2014. He's in good form. His stats are all pretty decent. He's 21st last time out in the Quicken Loans. Got a 4th at Memorial, a 12th at the Byron Nelson in his last four outings. This is a weak field. He really won well when he won here 2 years ago in 2014. He didn't put particularly well then. He's not putting particularly well now, but he still knows how to get it done, and I think he'll take a hell of a lot of beating in this. I can't see him being out of the five. He's just a lot better than most of these. It's a weak field. So I'm going to put him in with Martin Kaymer in a double. I think it's a course that really suits him. So he shots tee to green. a 13th on tour, he fourth on driving distance, because that's quite important here. It's elevated.
You've got to control your distances as well, haven't you, here?
Shots gained total of 21st. He's actually on the key stats on tour. He's really playing quite well. His birdie average is reasonable. So you need to hit birdies in this format, obviously. But yeah, the only stat you might worry about is putting. But as I say, he was 46 here on putting when he won. So I think he'll just hit it so far and so near to the hole, it'll be fine. And I'd be surprised if he was out of the five. So I'm going to stick him in with Martin Kaymer, 14-1 and 12-1. Now you've worked out what that is.
194-1.
Oh, bring it
on. The double. So there you go. Have a look at that. One guy that I did have a little glance at the Barracuda. Kyle Reifers is the guy that I quite like towards the top of the betting at 25-1. He finished with a wet sail last year to finish second. Got 22 points on the fourth day, Reifers, to leap up the leaderboard. And he's one guy that has been... he's been playing well on the PGA Tour.
He has, but he's only got one web.com win to his name. And I looked how old he was, and he's a little bit older than I thought he was, because he caught my... He's about 33 or 4, something like that. Because I did look at Reifers. Jonas Blixt should really... He was 13th here last year. He's looking at... He should be better than these, yeah. But he's 40-1. You might have expected a bit bigger than that, given his form has been poor. But I'd be watching him closely, not just for this week, but for the future. A couple of Australians that could run better, veteran Australians that have both played well here in the past. Stuart Appleby, he's got some reasonable finishes here and has shown glimpses this year. He's a big price, I think. He's about...
Let me have a look. He's 125-1.
Yeah, but more pertinently, the winner from the year before last, Jeff Ogilvy, who's a player that I always keep an eye on.
80-1.
80-1. Again, I've just seen glimpses this year that he's one of those players that catches fire for a little bit. And this win a couple of years ago really got him going. He played really well in the back end of the season.
Yeah.
So I'll be watching those two closely in running. But no, Gary Woodland, he should be there or thereabouts if he plays anything like, and if they manage to pronounce his name correctly.
Hello, is that girl off Grangehill? Hello, Roland.
12-1, Gary Woodland goes with Martin Kaymer at 14-1 in the French Open, 194-1, that double. Chaps, who's the player you don't want to win this week? Who came closest, Dave? Tyndall?
Talk amongst yourselves while I think about this.
Well, mine would be, I think, Jim Furyk I might have done each way.
Yeah, he's got rock
solid. Jim or Francesco Molinari, both each way.
Yeah, maybe Jason Duffin. Well, you picked him now, so I hope he wins.
If one of y'all...
I'm just going to be celebrating my 194-1 double. Yeah, I don't care who wins.
Just sit back and relax, can't you?
You see, I said to you, before we did this podcast, shall I put him in the don't want to win category or just actually put him up as a bet, Dustin Johnson? And you said, put him up as a bet.
I didn't know you were talking about Dustin Johnson at the time.
I know, we were talking theoretically,
yeah,
weren't we?
Yeah, we were talking theoretically.
He was my don't want to win at the US Open, and he did, because I didn't like the price. Well, I'm not going to happen again.
Was he? Yeah, okay. He was your don't want to win, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter. We'll just recap the selections very quickly. I'm going to point each way on Mike Lorenzo Vera, 150-1. In France and in Ohio. A point each way, Ricky Fowler at 33-1. Dave Tyndall?
Yeah, so I'll have to go 3 points win, Dustin Johnson at 7-1.
Yep.
And a point each way, Jason Duffner at 40s. And then in France, Bernd Wiesberger, I'll go 1.5 each way at 25s.
Very good.
I'll go 0.5 each way on that each way double, the Kaymer Woodland Express, and... Lingmuth, I think I will back him myself, but I'll debate whether that's a full podcast bet or not.
Okay.
And tweet if it is.
Very good. At M Grenham, if you want to follow Mike on Twitter, you can follow Dave Tyndall at Dave Tyndall Golf. Follow myself at D Kellner. And remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill and you can catch us on iTunes each and every week as well. Enjoy your golf betting, French Open, WGC Bridgestone Invitational, and the Barracuda Championship this week. We'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.